Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Thank you very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. 10 minutes after 12, you're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Suzanne Muchen will be here a little bit later. We're going to talk about Sheryl Sandberg saying maybe she was wrong or wants to change a little bit when she was recommending that women lean in. You know, that was a big subject of conversation a couple of years ago. Suzanne will be here to kick that around. We'll talk about Sears with Andrew Herman. And John Najarian is on a phone line as well to talk about Wall Street. Before we talk to John, though, I just want to say thanks to everyone at the Edgewater Chamber of Commerce. I had a chance to spend some time up there this morning for a business roundtable, met some great business owners up there, and we had a what I thought was a very nice conversation with people at Loyola University. Definitely a pleasure to do that. All right, John Najarian, good afternoon to you. How are you today?
Feeling pretty good, Stephen. Why not?
Not bad.
Almost 200.
Yeah, it was up 200 earlier today. Now, is this all about oil? Is it something about the yen? What's leading to all of this?
It's certainly a little bit about oil. We have not decoupled from that. And I'm quite frankly, I'm not complaining about it. It's something that we can hang our hat on. But it's going to be key, I think, some of these retail numbers that are coming our way this week, as far as both April sales and how some of the big retailers like Macy's have done, as well as consumer discretion on the Disney side, cord cutting and so forth. Did it really impact Disney the way that perhaps many had feared that it would, and or is Captain America and are Captain America and Iron Man and the Civil War enough to reverse the fortunes of Disney here?
I just love hearing my stock expert talk to you about Iron Man. It's just kind of funny, and Captain America to me.
I love that movie. What a great movie. You'll have people see it multiple times, I think, just like Star Wars.
So it's one of those
Disney property.
It's one of those movies whose numbers you can't really judge for a while.
Yeah, and I think what they don't have right now, they have a Hulk roller coaster, but that's over at Universal, and they have some Spider-Man-themed rides also at Universal. But now that Disney owns the Marvel franchise, I would say between Star Wars and the Marvel franchise, you will see a lot more of that popping up at the Disney theme parks, and that's just repetitive business as well.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I read things like that. Well, that's, you know, now they can have this ride or that ride. Does something like that really bring people into the park?
All we got to do is look at Harry Potter,
yeah.
And the answer is, you know, booming yes. It really does. Now, a roller coaster that you just happened to name the Hulk, which, you know, I love Universal. They send me checks every week, so I'm grateful for that. But I think that is not nearly the same as some sort of world or some sort of immersive experience, since that's what we're all into, Stephen.
Right.
I think that is much bigger. Harry Potter does it, and I think you're going to see it with Star Wars. Well, I know you're going to see it with Star Wars. I suspect you're going to see it with many of the Marvel properties as well.
Hey, and this might be a little more of a marketing story than a stock story, but did you see this Budweiser story today, and what do you make of it?
They want to change their name to America. I'm surprised you didn't beat them to that, Stephen, patriotic as you are.
I was referring to myself as U.S. Bertrand for a while, and it just never quite caught on. Right, so they're going to change the name of their beer, Budweiser, to America through the election, right? Is that what that's what they're saying?
Yep, apparently so. And I guess it's a way to get your name out there and perhaps have both candidates and their constituents either posing with it, tweeting it, or getting the buzz going about a particular thing. But I don't think that's going to move the needle for more than a couple weeks, really. But it's a clever gimmick, I guess. But I think they need more than clever gimmicks to really get something as competitive as that beer market give it some legs.
I suppose there's no trademark on the name of a country or the name of a continent or part of a continent or anything like that, so America's
fair game. I don't believe anybody could, no. So, but again, that same thing could be said that if there isn't that, couldn't the other guys do it too? But I just don't think it's as big a deal.
We should just have everything named America for the summer of 2016. That'd be something.
Maybe they'll do something like that for the Olympics too.
Maybe that's what it's more about. The Olympics this summer. They're this summer.
Down in Rio.
I want to talk a little bit about Amazon and Donald Trump too. There's this 1,500 holders of Amazon stock are pressuring Jeff Bezos, or they've written him a letter saying they want to Amazon to stop selling Trump clothing. And I just bring that up to see whether that is indicative of anything wider going on when it comes to divestment in this election season. I mean, are you seeing pressures that way?
No, sir. And thus far, anybody who's bet against Mr. Trump has basically licked their wounds and limped off. All of his Republican challengers thought he would not last, and obviously he outlasted all of them. And now the fact that 1,500 shareholders want Bezos to take this down. If Mr. Trump had, for instance, Confederate flags on his logo, which of course he does not,
right.
Then I would say that would have a pretty good chance. But as popular as the Make America Great stuff is, I don't see Bezos taking that down.
Yeah, and they're referring to Donald Trump's menswear line, which I wasn't even aware existed. So maybe these 1,500 stockholders are actually doing Trump's business a favor by complaining about it.
Yeah, just like we're talking about with the America for the beer. The more you mention one of these candidates, I mean, he virtually lives rent-free in the media. Donald Trump does. Nobody else. And I think it's partly his both genius and success in this election so far is that he hasn't had to spend like virtually every other candidate has had.
It's funny you bring that up because, you know, I hear this from time to time, and I think Donald Trump has had the tar knocked out of him in the media, but it doesn't stick. I mean, I think a lot of reports about him are, you know, they point out what he says and they point out pressure from the backtrack. It just doesn't hurt him. And I was thinking of that when I heard about Lumber Liquidators, because the media doesn't seem to hurt Trump, but boy, that 60 Minute story on Lumber Liquidators is still being felt.
Yeah. The fact that there's that formaldehyde, one of the things I guess that's somewhat common for laminated flooring. So in other words, this isn't like that bad drywall out of China that people were complaining about. This is something that's pretty common to these laminate flooring companies. But Lumber Liquidators, of course, as the name implies, that's their business, their primary business. And the numbers were just horrible yet again. Ever since that 60-minute story, you're absolutely right, Stephen. They have not recovered.
We've been all over the place today. We got a minute or so. Do you have a stock recommendation for us?
Well, I'm buying a lot of Microsoft here today, MSFT. It's a stock that's down about 8% year-to-date. I think it's one of the best companies in the entire U.S. market. The fact that it was down, I think, is some of the changes that have been going on there. But I think just like Amazon last week, this is about the cloud, and I think Microsoft is going to continue to be a dominant player in the cloud, as well as search, because, of course, they're behind Bing on the Yahoo site. So I like Microsoft here, and I think that the stock is cheap.
That's John Najarian. You can follow him on Twitter at John Najarian. Thanks very much today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen.
You're listening to the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Business Lunch and the Traveling Wilburys on 720 WGN, and you're about to listen to Andrew Herman as well. Hello, Andrew.
Hey,
see,
Steve.
Just as promised, Andrew here from DNA Chicago, and we talk about openings and closings this time each week. And, well, let's talk about the clouds opening up a little bit because it's certainly wet outside.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a little gloomy.
I'm feeling very damp from my two-block walk from the world headquarters of DNA Info.
I actually have a cup of tea today, which is... I don't know if it's ever happened. All right, so Andrew's here, and let's go back. Didn't we talk about the 47th Ward last week?
Yeah, we did.
I love the story about the one of the oldest, well, the oldest Sears store in Chicago.
Right, so we're talking about Lincoln Square here, and the Sears store at 1900 West Lawrence is closing, and it's been around for about 90 years, and it's just the latest of Sears stores to go to go down across the country.
And there are only, what, two or three now left in the city of Chicago?
Yeah, there's two left in the city, maybe 18 or so left in the Chicago area, but they're dwindling from the city where the company started. But we're kind of left with a enormous building there in Lincoln Square. It's about a block long and several stories high, and it's... What do you do with a building like that?
And the alderman says, well, the neighbors are going to complain about whatever we do. I just love that, which is so Chicago. Ask George Lucas, I guess.
Yeah, well, so Pawar says that he wants to landmark this building. And he's talking about, you know, we can't let this building get caught up in years of people fighting about what to do with it.
So if he landmarks it, then he locks it up pretty much, right?
About yeah, he gets a little more control over it, and I think they can set up a plan that might make it more attractive to developers because it'll come with certain tax advantages. And what he's seeing is more retail, maybe even some housing in this place.
Oh, so what I was thinking was that if you landmark it, it might be less attractive because there are more restrictions, but actually it opens up different sorts of investment for you, too.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the building now, it's very foreboding, and you can't imagine why anybody would want to landmark it. It's one of these old giant Sears buildings that somewhere along the way they bricked in the windows, so it becomes very foreboding from the street because it looks like almost like
a
warehouse.
Fortress or something.
Yeah, but I think if you remove the bricks from the windows, you might have something kind of interesting there. And I was looking around at other places around the country as Sears continues to close stores and looking at other stores that were built around the same time. And they've been doing some interesting things. Like in Cincinnati, they had a similar Sears store, and they sold it to the University of Cincinnati there, and they've turned it into an incubator for startups. And Oakland, they had the same situation, a big, giant, old Sears
right.
building downtown, and they've turned theirs into shops and offices. So there is reuse value to them. But you have to be creative, and you have to, you know, it's going to take a while.
It's just kind of sad reading the story at DNAinfo.com, how people said, well, it'll become sort of dreary inside, and, you know, it's just a dying giant.
It's true. It's Sears is they got knocked on one side of the head by the emergence of the big box stores like Home Depot and Walmart, and then the internet was crushing them.
Right.
And it was interesting. I was in a Sears store the other day, and I was looking at lawnmowers, and I was talking to the guy who was selling them, and he literally told me to go back home and go to the Sears.com website and buy it
online.
There. Yeah.
Wow.
So they're really pushing. They're pushing their customers in that direction.
You ever stay at a youth hostel in your youth?
I stayed at one in New York City.
Did you?
Yes, and it's a very interesting experience.
Well, they're planning on one, or they're hoping to build one now near Wrigley Field?
Right, so this is a proposal near Wrigley at 3469 North Clark. It's going to be started by a company called Holiday Jones. They already have one in Wicker Park, and it's kind of a combination of it's somewhere between a college dorm and a hotel. So basically, there's a lot of bunk beds in single rooms. You can get a single room, but everybody kind of shares a common bathroom. So it's kind of like a dorm-like experience like that.
So $87 for a single room. And then shared rooms go for as low as $26.
Right, and so if you can climb to the top of that bunk bed, you're in there for $26. But that's the Wicker Park costs, and it's kind of designed for young people.
So it'll be what after a night game at Wrigley Field?
It would be terrific. It's only two blocks from Wrigley Field. If you're young and adventurous and you don't mind sleeping in a bunk bed, and I guess I was looking at Yelp at the one in Wicker Park, and people generally love it, except they say it's kind of noisy.
Yeah, well, I guess that would be the point, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, right.
So what are the chances of this? Just a development? I mean, are we early into it?
Or? It's the latest in proposals for this site. Other people have tried to build hotels there, and for whatever reason, financing and problems in the neighborhood and all kinds of things have complicated things. But, I mean, you can see what the Ricketts family is doing right around Wrigley Field,
right.
really turning it into more of a destination, Wrigley Field into more of a destination than it already is. The Ricketts family, you know, who owns the Cubs, and they also own DNA Info. But they're building a hotel where the old McDonald's was right across the street. So they're trying to get people to go down there and stay there, I guess, in Wrigley Field.
You can read about the hostel and the Sears at dnainfo.com/Chicago. Andrew Herman, good to see you.
Thanks, Steve.
It's the Biz Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you, Kim. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN 1237. In the studio is Suzanne Muchin. She's the co-host of The Big Payoff. You can listen to that at WGNplus.com. Suzanne, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thanks, Steve.
So I was talking to the Inno boys on Monday when they were here. They were talking about Viv, this new virtual reality.
Oh, yeah.
You know Viv?
Yeah, sure.
And so it occurred to me, Viv, Alexa,
Siri.
Is Siri a woman's name? I suppose that could be either.
Well, she's a woman's voice.
She is. Now, you can change the voice. Someone texted me that, you know, they changed it to a British man. You
right, but I think the intention was for her to, was it. For her.
And so,
look how we talk about them like they're real people.
And you pointed out off the air that the movie with
Scarlett Johansson.
With Scarlett Johansson was called Her.
Right.
And so when I sort of had that ding in my head on Monday, of course, I thought of you and what your reaction to that would be.
So I have to assume a lot of market research went into choosing those names. I have to, because it's a pretty big decision what you call that app or that feature, right?
What you name her.
What you name her. I have to assume that it has something to do with trust, that a woman's voice may feel more trustworthy, maybe calmer. I think, I have Alexa in my home who I very much feel has changed my life.
Come on.
Game changer.
How does she change your life?
She sits in my kitchen. She's this tube, right?
She's a tube.
Right, she's this tube.
This tube of a woman.
And I talk to her throughout the evening as I'm cooking dinner, as I'm cleaning up. She'll track my grocery list, set my timer while I'm cooking. She'll play podcasts while I'm in the kitchen. She, score of the Cubs game, anything you want, Alexa knows.
Hey, Alexa, what's the score of the Cubs game?
Of course, and she'll tell you right then and there. It's like Siri, but I find Alexa to be a better friend.
Does she ever, do you ever just find yourself engaged in conversation like people do with their dogs?
Well, she's not so, Siri is much more talkative than Alexa.
Really?
Alexa's more
Alexa's
of a
doer.
She's a doer. She's more type A. I feel Siri's a little looser.
Yeah, well, I like your reaction to it, because I was worried that women might say, well, it's because we're used to asking women what to do or telling women what to do. And
although I see the relationship as being more one where the Siri Alexa role has a lot of power. Right, you're dependent on them. Where am I going? What's the time of this? How do I make that? You're asking them for information.
I see, right. So they're the authority. You're
authority.
Not the authority. Interesting.
That's how I view it.
You know, because they might have marketed it as a butler.
Correct.
But they didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's talk Sheryl Sandberg.
Oh, yeah.
Big news, lean in. I love this story because all this tells us is that no one's opinion is permanent.
Right.
And everyone's,
or shouldn't be.
Or shouldn't be. And everyone's life experience continually alters their opinion.
This is deep, right? It was just a little over a year ago that she lost her husband in a very freak accident. He had some heart attack or something on a treadmill while they were on vacation, and her life obviously changed in a minute. So what was interesting was on Mother's Day, she posted...
Let's back up a little bit. Sheryl Sandberg, she's at Facebook now, right?
CEO Facebook,
She writes this book, Lean In, which is telling women...
To get with the program.
Jump into your career.
To jump in, to not let any of your life circumstances hold you back from pursuing what is yours in the corporate world.
Lean in.
Yeah.
It was the phrase of the year. Okay.
Phrase of the year. So at the time that the book came out, a lot of people, including me, had real issues with the framework for Lean In, which seemed to be for women in a particular bubble, right? It felt that way, that she was writing this book from a place of privilege. Turns out she loses her husband in this freak accident and comes out on Mother's Day, just on Sunday, with a blog post that has been, you know, everywhere now,
right.
Basically saying, I regret that I didn't take into account the lives of single mothers. You know, I'm now a single mother. She touches on the fact that she's not quite the usual single mother, which isn't taking anything away from her grief.
Sure.
But just her circumstances are different. She said, I'm now willing to recognize that for many, many women in America, leaning in just isn't possible.
Interesting. Well, it had to have occurred to her when she wrote it the first time.
You'd think.
I guess we just get,
I think she's in a real bubble.
I want to say self-absorbed in the most gentle way.
Sure.
Okay.
You don't have to be gentle.
Well, I mean, you know.
She's definitely grown up. Look, she went to Harvard in a privileged environment. And when you talk about women's career success being defined by how high they rise on the corporate ladder, That's a very narrow way of looking at it.
So lean, well, not forward, that's MSNBC.
Right.
Lean,
I think she's
stand
just
up straight.
Saying, have, perhaps stand up straight, or perhaps acknowledge that it's not all women who are, in fact, capable of leaning in.
You know what's coming up this weekend at my house?
Oh, what?
My last ever prom.
Oh, God. Wasn't it? So we have kids who are the same age.
Ban
now
the
we
prom.
Both have seniors. Ban the prom. We were going to start a movement. Like, it didn't work, I guess, because prom's still happening.
I thought we did start it. It just didn't really go
We, I don't think we put enough thought into
no,
it.
I don't think so.
But it is the worst moment for me as a parent, because you're spending an ungodly amount of time and energy, not to mention money, for an event that at the end of the day, does anyone really have the time of their life?
Yeah, someone said, especially not now, I don't think, you know, because you used to go to the prom with the woman or the man who's going to eventually be your spouse.
It was right, exactly. Today, not so much.
No, even if accidents do happen.
So this very interesting moment, though, occurred right over the weekend in Pennsylvania. It happened to do with prom.
And it's all about transgender.
So at proms, as we know, there's a dress code, which for most schools is the norm, and guys are typically in tuxes, and women are typically in prom dresses.
My son's going to tie his, well, he's not. Someone's going to tie his own bow tie this year.
That's so hard to do. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Well, it's not done yet. Go ahead.
Okay. So a young girl who is a lesbian and is very out with that and has dressed in male clothing for many years shows up at her prom in, I think it's Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and is in a tux and gets
turned away.
Out,
yeah.
Sent home.
And it's a Catholic school, right?
Catholic school. There, I think that it's important to acknowledge that context, although, look, the reaction she got, the support she got from her peers and from celebrities and people who heard about this, it really is shocking that in today's day and age that you really wouldn't acknowledge the fact that not all girls want to wear a fancy dress
right.
to prom.
And I think probably at 85% of the Catholic schools or more, it wouldn't have been an issue. But
correct. And it's also an acknowledgement, you know, gay, lesbian, transgender kids are everywhere, including at Catholic schools.
Right. So there's that. Okay. And, well, we know that the Justice Department is involved in this litigation in North Carolina. So,
right.
Man, look at how fast
isn't
we
that
have
amazing,
changed.
Steve? It's amazing, actually, that in the course of, it feels to me like less than a year, people are using the phrase transgender as if it's always been a part of our vocabulary,
right?
We used to just say LGB, now it's LGBT, and that seems very...
After four letters,
really,
I stopped. I just say, I embrace the community.
Yes, right?
Suzanne Mushin, the co-host of The Big Payoff at WGNplus.com. Nice to see you.
Good
is your,
to see
is
you.
Your prom this weekend?
Ours is next weekend.
Next weekend. Good. Well, we'll have stories to tell
fun
in the future.
Good
it's
times.
The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you very much. Oh, Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. And really, Farrell, I did not have you in here just to have cookies. That was not my aim. It wasn't even my idea. Are you worried people just love you for your cookies, Farrell?
Yes.
Farrell Poss is here. She is the Director of Operations for the Great Lakes region of Insomnia Cookies. Bring that microphone a little bit closer to you. All right. So I was telling you off the air, and I've told anyone who will listen. I mean, I went to college. I have my late nights, and when I went home at 1 or 2 in the morning, the idea of a warm cookie was never in my head. And I must have been missing something, because this Insomnia Cookies is just exploding, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It started in 2003 at Penn State, or at UPenn, I should say, sorry. It's blown up since then.
Is a guy lived in a frat house with, or lived in a house with his, was his girlfriend living with him? Or?
Well, yeah, he lived in a dorm room and started there, made cookies. His name is Seth. Made cookies for his friends, and then a newspaper got a hold of him, and it kind of blew up from there. He started with some food trucks, actually cookie trucks, I should say.
Yeah.
And then we started going into stores, and we're at 85 stores and growing.
You're at 85 stores, and when you say stores, you mean like a cookie shop, not not a grocery store.
Oh, no, like cookie shops, literally retail where you can come in and...
And you kind of went from college town to college town, correct? So in Illinois, there are three now in Chicago.
Yep.
But the other locations are Champaign, Carbondale,
And normal.
Right. Yep. So all college towns.
Yep. Gotta love it.
And the
I mean, it's the perfect hello. Late night. I'm just saying, we're open until 3 in the morning.
And
so.
that's what the whole model is, right?
Yep.
Are you open at 10 in the morning?
Well, we open our shops at 11, and delivery starts at noon. So we do delivery from noon to 3 in the morning, and you can walk in at 3 in the morning. We've had people, literally I've seen it, people running across the street as soon as we're about to lock the doors. They're like, please, just like one cookie. I just want one cookie. I'm like, okay, come on in.
And
like,
all of this started, when did you say,
2003.
So yep. In 13 years,
yep.
You have changed the way we eat cookies.
Of course.
Cold milk, too?
Yep. Brownies, ice cream sandwiches.
Okay, so is your college demographic, does it skew gender one way or another?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Really?
I guess I haven't done the studies for it. Marketing department might be able to tell you more on that, but... Cookies. Everybody loves them. I'm just saying, it's like a little, when you're off and away at college, it's a little piece of home.
But you get what I'm saying, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, a slice of pizza over a...
I know, you'd be surprised, though. I don't know because I'm the same way. When I was in college, I went to Michigan State, and my junior year is the first time I had insomnia. My friend was celebrating an anniversary, and she had cookies delivered come to our dorm. I'm like, what is this?
Right.
And then I was like, oh, I get it now.
Right. When I was a single guy, it was Lincoln Avenue Pizza and between Fullerton and Webster on Lincoln Avenue. There'd be a line there at 2 in the morning.
Yep.
And now maybe the world is just a nicer place with cookies.
Maybe. There's definitely a line now.
So you're the operations manager for our director for the Great Lakes region.
Yep.
And if there is such a title, then that implies to me that... I'm not doubting it, but that implies to me that there's big expansion coming, or the continued expansion.
Oh, yeah. We are we're moving and a-grooving. Cookies are wanted everywhere, so we are going where people want us.
How many shops are in your control?
Right now, nine. With Wicker Park just opening last week.
Is there a target number for you, dates or not? Do you expect to have... 15 in the region within a year, or?
Oh, I think my region's always going to stay about the same number, but I'm hoping that as we grow, my region will be just Chicago, because I am born bred here. I love cookies in Chicago.
You don't ever want to go back to East Lansing, is that what
you're saying? You know, I love visiting there, because I do have the store that's there currently. I love them. Michigan's a great state, but I'm ready to stay and be my home and... You know, hopefully maybe one downtown or one up in Wrigleyville. Who knows? But I'd rather.
Do your shops vary by location? I mean, is the behavior of the one at Champaign different from the behavior at the one in Wicker Park? Is that an odd question? But
no, I totally I get what you mean, though. Which is funny because I also used to run the Champaign store. The one that's down in Champaign definitely. You know, the college kids come out at night and they're having fun. It's a good time. And then when you're in the city, you just have more of a city crowd. And it's funny to see the pregnant women come in at 2 o'clock in the morning because they want a cookie. I mean, it's still the one in Lincoln Park is by DePaul. So it's definitely still a college crowd, but you still have the young family like, oh, or the husband's like, I'm happy, but not happy that you're here. Because now my wife's making me come down here, but you're awesome, so I'm going to get another one for myself.
It is funny. I mean, you just, this contradiction of wild partying college kids.
Yeah.
And a chocolate chip cookie.
And a cookie.
How do people find more information?
InsomniaCookies.com is definitely a great place to start. Tons of information. You can order from there. You